Welcome to the Real Life Groups Leadership Podcast, a conversation about creating small groups where people grow in spiritual maturity in relationship. We're focused on you, the small group leader, giving tips and tools to help you lead effectively. My name is Chris Short. I am your host today. I'm one of the pastors here at Real Life. And we get the privilege today of talking about a topic that we know will apply to you, will be super helpful. Mm-hmm. It's strengthening the marriages in your small groups. And I get to sit with two of my favorite people, starting with my wife, Sarah Short, who is on the groups team here at Post Falls campus, and Bill Krause, our family pastor, who really represents all of our Real Life Ministries campuses. So again, super excited for this conversation. And so I'm going to start with just kind of a slow pitch question to open us up. Let's talk about your marriages, and we'll start with you, Sarah. Tell us about your spouse and how great he is.
Oh, yeah. He's just amazing. So it's hard when you're just sitting right across from me.
This is super great
for me. No, my spouse is actually amazing. So we've been married for 17 years. Is that right?
True.
That is true, right. Yes.
I messed it up the other day, but that is right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, 17 years. We have four daughters, and I don't know, what's something, a fun fact about you? You do have OCD, so yep, you like things to be clean and in a particular way. Yep. But I think what a cool fact is for us, though, about talking about strengthening marriages is that Bill and Jill, his wife, actually mentored us. Yep. And just really poured into our beginning stages, especially as we begin dating, premarital, marriage, yep, and even into parenting. And so we are just super yep blessed by them. So
absolutely. We're huge piece for us personally, just having you guys back. Yeah. So Bill, tell us about your wife. Must be pretty amazing. I mean, for you to be who you are.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's very true.
I'm a knothead.
Tell us about her.
We've been married almost 31 years. We have four kids. They're all adults now, starting their careers and finishing mm-hmm colleges and all those kind of things. I don't know. 30 years ago when I decided to ask my wife to marry me, we were on a date night on a boat out in the middle of the Columbia River. And we were talking. Of course, the boat broke down, but that was fine. We were floating. And I was talking to her about this very passion. I mean, it hadn't developed back then, but I was in youth ministry then, and yeah, about if parents could get involved and if marriages could be strong, stuff like that. And she looked at me and she says, you know, I think you could do anything you want to do. And when she said aww that, I was like, I ought to marry her. Now, living up to that, haven't lived up to that, but she has been supportive through the whole thing. She is absolutely the most amazing wife, mother, mm-hmm, parent, friend.
Yep, Jill's pretty awesome.
She is amazing. I agree.
Well, talking about marriages, and again, yeah, in this podcast, talking about small group leaders, we want to kind of bridge there for a second. So maybe for a second, tell us the impact of small groups in each of your marriages personally, before we kind of dive into our small group leaders and how we help them. Maybe start with you.
Yeah, I think for myself, we started right in small groups really early on in our marriage. And I think what was most helpful for me is it was this community of even other women who were pointing me back to Jesus. And so I was just always so grateful, because I feel like in the midst of good and hard, but especially hard seasons that we've been through, it was never like, a gaggle of women who all ganged up on Chris. It was like, hey, I'm really struggling, or we've been struggling with this issue. But these women would be like, okay, but what's your part? Like, how can you help the situation be better? And it was constantly pointing me back to Jesus rather than like, oh yeah, he's a big jerk, let's gang up on him. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a safe place for me to land, where I could be honest and transparent about what was going on, but also was full of love and grace in those moments. And I know that was super helpful for
love
me.
Love it. So, how about you, Bill?
Well, the number one thing that small groups have done for Jill and my marriage is, and for most of our ministry life, we've led and hosted, you know. Yeah. So it comes down to this, though, is if you're not serving in ministry, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're paid or not. Like I say, you know, mm-hmm, I'm paid to be good. Other people are good for nothing. But if you're not serving in ministry, you're not growing as a disciple. But when you can serve alongside with your wife or with your husband, that growth takes on a bit of a different dynamic that I really relish and enjoy. And it's not just because we kind of know each other's stuff, you know, and so we can work together well. Or Jill and I have been blessed to work stuff out, mostly because of her patience, to work together well. Mm-hmm. But in our marriage, we have grown through small groups simply by leading and hosting. Now, Sarah brought up a good point, though. We've always probably our own mistake. We've always kind of ended up in the leadership role. Mm-hmm. So finding those couples that would pour into us, we had to go the extra mile. Yeah. But a lot of times those were connections from the small groups mm-hmm. that we could find those extra yeah. mile mentors. And, of course, I'm old enough now. Most of my mentors are with Jesus. So I'm on the floor right now. And I'm looking at the bench. So it's good.
It. That's so good. And one of the things you talked about I love that even is part of our story is going back years ago when we got to serve in children's ministry with you. So that's how me and Sarah really got to know each other in serving. Yeah. And to me, that was just a crucial part of our relationship because we knew from the very beginning that our relationship was going to be about serving the world together. Yep. And I mean, it's shaped our marriage from the very beginning.
That's
and
great.
So to me, I totally agree with that piece that we get to see that in a small group. That's one way that we, especially small group leaders that we're talking to, it really is a
well, and people that are listening, I don't mean give the impression though that, you know, because some couples, they serve better in different areas and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Yep. But you asked about me personally. I wouldn't trade that for anything. I mean, small group's great and discipleship's been good and the study's all great. But man, the dynamic that we got to experience, it was great.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the real piece, this crossover between a small group where we're living life together and our marriages. They're just natural. We're going to see these. Yeah. So as we kind of dive into our topic, here's the first question I want to kind of engage with is, how does a small group strengthen marriages of the people who are in them? Just this fundamental question that we want to kind of open up the conversation with.
Yeah, I think that really the point of groups is to be growing in spiritual maturity in relationship. That's the entire point. And so for our marriages, like you said, they're putting us around other people, and we kind of get to live life together. We say that a lot, and it's this great opportunity. We get to see, like, man, who's growing? How are they growing? How can we help them take their next step? I do think we run into a problem, though, a little bit of if they have to also be transparent and open. They have to do their part, and so I know that sometimes it's hard, I think, as a leader because we've led and hosted in several different capacities of, like, there is some mining out that has to happen sometimes because some people are lots more open and transparent, whereas others aren't.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I want to piggyback off what you said too, Sarah, is usually in our workplace or whatever, we don't run into a lot of environments that, especially now, although it's been this way throughout history, we don't run into a lot of environments that are actually supportive or investing in the biblical values of marriage. Yeah. So small group, it's like, man, where are you going to go? I mean, some of us, even our own families, are not believers, and they're not necessarily pro-marriage, certainly not biblical design marriage. And small group is the environment for that that's just essential, I think.
Yeah. That's super good.
Yeah. It does remind me of a story a long time ago. I mean, I think this is kind of the genesis of this podcast, at least for you inviting me into it, though, is this is many, 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 many years ago, but a guy who a friend of mine who was a leader in the church back in southern Idaho, and he had been in a men's group that every Monday morning they got together for coffee around 11 o'clock, and they would share a devotion or read out a daily bread, and they'd pray, and then they kind of pray, and they kind of talk about city politics or whatever, you know. And they'd been meeting for years and years and years and years. And so one of the fellas, his name was Marv, came to me and he said, the wildest thing happened. I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, so-and-so announced at our men's group this morning that he's getting divorced. And, I mean, he was, like, stunned.
Yeah.
He goes, we've been meeting together for, like, 10 years, same coffee shop, all this stuff. And he says to me, I didn't even know they were having problems.
Wow.
And I go, wow, I mean, I was like, 20-something. I don't know. But this one statement that he made, it will always haunt me. And he said, so we've been meeting together for 10 years, and he goes, Bill, what have we been doing then?
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, if I didn't even know he was having problems in his marriage, we're praying and reading the Word together. What in the world have we been doing?
Yeah.
And, boy, that ought not be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's convicting, and I think that's a great reminder even for our groups is to go back to why we do what we do and how we can positively affect the marriages and what's our part. And that's, I think, the tension that we face in this discussion is – small group leaders, you know, we're pouring our lives out, and that's what we're called to do, is do our part.
Yeah.
Certainly people have to do their part, and we know God's faithful to do his part, but that is a tension.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And that's what makes groups so great, is that they have the ability to dive into some of these, the great things and the hard things, if people will allow them to do it.
Yeah.
So.
So I was thinking about in this whole conversation, just in our experience and small groups and marriage ministry, it seems like there's kind of two different categories of how we can help marriages. And it's really the way we engage with a group. Mm-hmm. And there's a part that we can do ahead of time. There's a part that we can do kind of after something's happened. Mm-hmm. We could call it proactive. Yeah. What can we do as leaders proactively? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then certainly things are going to happen that we could never expect because people are good hiders. You know, they can they can right. stuff and they can keep things below the surface for a long time. And so what do we do in reaction when something has come out? So that's what I was thinking about kind of engaging with first. How do we be proactive as small group leaders? What would we give as some encouragement to our leaders to be able to build a culture where they can have healthy marriages within their small group?
Yeah, I think that's the whole goal, right? And so I think the biggest piece of advice that I would give from my own personal experience that I would even give to the leaders that I coach would be this idea of intentionality. You have to be constantly intentional of what are you going to study and why are you going to study it? Like God, I feel like God literally puts people in authority in certain areas. So if you are leading a group, God's giving you that group for a reason. And so be intentional. What are you studying? Have breakout times with men and women so that those conversations can go even a little deeper. And to be honest, a lot of the information that you're going to get on marriages is going to be even outside of the group, not just inside of the group. And I think as the leader too, at least for me, I know I'm super extroverted. I married a very introverted man, which I feel bad sometimes. And so, but it's a good mix. And so, but I grew up in a home, I grew up in a yelling home, it yelled, and we were kind of secretive. And so those are some different things that I didn't want in my marriage. And so Chris and I have worked really hard at communication and we are by far not perfect at it, but it's kind of an ongoing joke in our household of, or in our small group of like, if Chris and I are in the middle of an argument, even 10 minutes before life group and people, because they just come into our home. No one knocks. Everyone just enters in. We will continue to resolve the argument like until it is done. Like we're not embarrassed
I'll
for people.
I'll do my part.
Yeah, we're not embarrassed. Yeah, I will complete my part in this. No, but I'm not like great, I don't want anyone to feel anyone in my group to think that like, oh, Chris and Sarah are the leaders, so they're above arguing. Now there is an appropriateness that needs to happen, but like I want people to see our great successes and even our big failures sometimes, because then I'm modeling that intentionality of like, man, this is how we walk this out. So it's not even just about having all the answers, I think, as a leader. It's modeling my weaknesses sometimes. Yeah, and so
the transparency
piece, because then they actually open up. Then they're actually willing to open up and be like, oh, how do you do that when this happens? And how...
It's not all perfect.
Exactly.
And we have to continue to work at it.
Yep.
And here's the things that we have to do consistently.
Yes.
This isn't just a place that we show up and learn and go home.
Exactly.
It's an experience that we're sharing God's word.
Yes.
God's word's convicting us. Yep. And people are helping us with that journey.
Exactly.
We're doing it together.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Bill, what are your thoughts?
The intentionality thing is just off the chart, whether it's proactive or reactive. Mm-hmm. But how do you do? I mean, I know that our small group leaders are not necessarily, they're not marriage counselors. The discipleship ministry here at Real Life is not asking those who facilitate small group to be experts in marriage, you know, the answer man.
Yep.
At the same time, we are asking that you not just default to, well, go find something on YouTube. I hope you find something, you know, because that could be trouble.
Yep.
That intentionality part is, like Sarah had already said, that you are intentionally creating that relational environment where spiritual growth can happen. Because the Holy Spirit's your partner.
Yeah.
And if you'll do your part, just work hard at, you know, like when you guys are allowing a disagreement to maybe bleed over just a little bit, not inappropriately.
Yep.
That speaks relationship, and that's your job. Build relational environments where people can feel free to grow and can learn and can follow your example or your lead. I think another thing, though, that I would say for home group leaders, again, because we're discipling the whole person, marriage and all, but the responsibility is shared and shouldered by the Holy Spirit, by God himself.
Yeah.
So don't start thinking that it's all on you. Mm-hmm. And remember this. I don't think it's healthy, and some people might agree with this, though, that you now take this podcast and say, oh my, here's another thing that I've got to do. I've got to figure out how to find out how everybody's marriage is, too, and all that stuff. Because people are good at hiding.
Yeah.
And some people aren't good at hiding. I get that. But people are good at hiding. And you can take a lot of the guesswork out of it if you just open up to some simple things in the relational environment. And one of them is remembering that the spiritual health of an individual is not the sum total of his or her marriage.
Yep.
There are some people who are married to people who are unbelievers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so there's a whole set of struggles there. Yep. That doesn't mean this person isn't growing as a Christian or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And there's people who've been Christians for a long time, and maybe the spouse is less interested in spiritual things because of, who knows, childhood or busyness or stress at work or whatever. And so just be real careful to treat people as individuals in the context of their marriage. Yeah,
that's a great reminder.
And not just throw the marriage. The other thing I would say to you, though, is I think those breakouts that most of the groups practice for men and women, however frequently, for their prayer time, that is a ripe, again, intentional environment that you can create where these kind of things can be discussed. Mm-hmm. These kind of things can be prayed for. And you know, we have some ideas. We're working with the groups team right now to develop a tool for those breakouts with some guided questions, kind of your regular questions that people could, and we're hoping to, in January, have that that ready. And,
I love that. Yeah. Well, and that kind of hits that piece of, there are a lot of resources we can proactively lead, take advantage of, like Sarah said, a leader knowing their group and saying, this is what I want to lead my group through in this time and season. So let's flip it a little bit. Let's talk about the really inevitable over years. You're going to have situations where things you didn't know of that came up. How do we respond as group leaders? What advice would you give the men and women in the different roles? Because we know that often the women are a part of some of those conflicts. They'll actually be the first people to hear often the challenges. What do we do when we have to have a reactive situation?
Yeah, for sure. And the reactive situations are always the hard, at least for me. I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, so I go into like, I'm here to help, like I want to do all the things, and it's not my job to pick up someone's suitcase. We use that example a lot. Like, someone wants to hand you their baggage as a leader. That's not my job. It's not your guys' job as leaders. And so that's why the group team exists. That's why actually each group has a group's pastor and a women's discipleship leader over them. And that's what we're here for, is to help some of those things, to guide you and walk alongside of those reactive conversations. Because when you're looking at a group, you want the leaders to be solidified, whether that's a married couple. Some groups might have a different, like a breakout leader, a different female breakout leader.
Yeah.
That's working with a wife as well, or an apprentice. But you want everyone working in that same direction, having great communication. Because when you're reacting to something, it's usually chaos. And I think it's just important that the leaders are on the same page.
Sarah, I don't know about you, but I, even after all these years, my initial reaction is almost always wrong.
Always.
Just reacting.
Oh, I agree.
Because I'm like,
this is what we should do.
And that's why I'm married to a woman who says, chill out.
Has the Holy Spirit to help you.
The Holy Spirit's still here. The Holy Spirit doesn't need your help.
Exactly. And I will say this too, from a female perspective, because I want to jump in and help, and similar boat of like, I'm like, my reaction's not always right. Or what I do as women, so I'll encourage the women like that are leading, of like, I want to tell Chris what to do in the situation. I actually think you should, let me even write out the text that I think you should send the husband to get his butt into gear.
Yeah.
And there's a level of trust that I need to have that, like, in his leadership, like, he's going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And even if Chris blows it as a leader, like, then he gets to grow in that situation. Like, and so I know a lot of times, sometimes, especially the wife can be like, it's happened to us, like the wife will be like, oh, well, you have Chris text my husband and maybe nudge him in this direction. Yeah. And I've had to learn over the course of whatever 17 years of ministry of being like, no, he won't text him that. Like, I'll bring it up to Chris and he will do what he needs to do with that information. Yeah. I trust your leadership in that. And whenever there's reaction, it happens on both sides, the men and the women,
you hit it right on the head, though.
Yeah.
You hit it right on the head, though, because if you pause in that moment, it's the opportunity to teach someone, you know, God's here.
Yeah, exactly.
Rely on Jesus. Yep. Circumstances are going to unfold. Let's prayerfully move forward. Let's not be silly.
Exactly.
But if we jump right in, now they're reliant on you, and they need to move through childhood into young adulthood. Exactly. And you can only do that if you have a dynamic walk with
that's
Jesus.
Great. And that's coaching. Is
he's
going to
show up, man. He shows. There's nobody more pro-marriage in your group than Jesus Christ.
Yep. And that's great.
And growing pains are good. Like growing means you're growing. And so sometimes difficult things in our group is okay, even though it's, even as a leaders, we've all been leaders, it's tiring and exhausting. And there have been years that have been harder than others. But for me, there's nothing more fulfilling sometimes on a reactive couple that's maybe struggling in their marriage who has actually kind of waded through the waters and come out on the other side so much stronger. And then they actually a lot of times get the opportunity then to walk alongside
to
maybe
somebody else.
And
so, that's what Corinthians says, comforted with the comfort we've been comforted by.
Yep.
Well, let's kind of go towards resources and things that we have that could help our small group leaders, whether it be a men's group, women's group, or a life group. What are some things that we could point them to, Bill? What are your thoughts on kind of resources?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things is, of course, I think Sarah's kind of hit on the biggest resource is the teams that are in place have been designed, trained, and are held accountable to support you. That's a big resource. But the other one that I'm going to kind of jump into, I might be jumping ahead a little bit. You can back me up here. We were just laughing about there's nobody more pro-marriage than the Holy Spirit. Huge resource. Familiarize yourself with the definitive text, those go-to texts in Scripture that are about marriage.
Yep.
And do that intentionally, proactively.
Yes.
That's a way to prepare yourself for any kind of conversation about marriage.
Yep.
Because that goes a thousand different directions, but it's like, nothing more pro, nobody more pro than Jesus. Mm. Malachi says, God says, I sealed you with a portion of my spirit. So there's three people at the altar, not one.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of discussion that can come out of that. Just being able to crack the Bible and say, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and read through this. Is there any advocate? So I would say, first off, equip yourself with the Word of God. You don't have to be a theologian or a MDiv graduate student.
Yep.
You can find those definitive passages, and I think we're going to have a list of those accompanying this podcast, so you can look those up and study them and familiarize yourself with them, the ones that you would go to on marriage.
That's really
good. More than just God so loved the world. He did.
Exactly.
He gave his only son. That's good. That has applies to. But there's passages because marriage is discipleship.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
That's really good.
Sarah, thoughts?
Yeah, I think too, just again, it comes back down to our groups team is here for our leaders. And so we have things, we have Built to Last that has premarital curriculum and even small group curriculum. We have Right Now Media that has tons of marriage studies on there. We even have curriculum here at the church that we've vetted and gone through. And so reach out to those, reach out to your group's team for just guidance on what your group might need next. And I would just encourage our groups, we have coaching, some of us are coached by maybe a group's pastor. We also have volunteer coaching. We do all kinds of different trainings and huddles. I think sometimes leaders can miss out on rubbing shoulders with other leaders, being in the room with people who are doing the same thing as you. And so, I'm always encouraging my own leaders, I know you're busy, but make time, make it a priority to sit in the room with like-minded people who are running the same race and the same goal so that they can be encouraging you. That's as leaders, I feel like it's easy for Satan to come and attack us so much simpler. Our families, our own marriages, our kids. And if you're isolated leader by yourself, it can feel discouraging, but there's something that's always kind of encouraged me, even if my group is in a harder season, to hear somebody else's group, thriving, okay, that's a good thing. Maybe I'll pick their brain.
That's great.
And so these things are available.
And it doesn't really, I know, website, everybody's trying to always find stuff on people's website.
Yeah.
But it does take, just proactively find where the classes are publicized on the website. There's marriage classes being offered regularly here.
Yep.
And that's one that you could refer people out. They don't even have to leave your group. They could attend this class on Thursday or Sunday as well. And then, of course, we are continuing to grow our army of marriage mentors that their whole purpose is to come alongside the groups.
That's great.
So that a person can take a break and go meet with somebody. It'd be nice if we could embed a marriage mentor in every home group, and maybe we will eventually someday.
Yeah.
But gather those resources ahead of time, and that'll help you too. As you gather resources, you might discover some things that that you yourself can benefit from. It's like, wow, well, this helped us, that kind of thing.
Well, I was just going to actually even say that of all of our marriages are important, but I want my leader's marriage to be the healthiest. And so it's okay that sometimes Chris and I's marriage is struggling. That doesn't make us weak. That makes us human.
Yep.
And so if your marriage as a leader is struggling, be in the proactive category. That would be my encouragement of take time to invest in your own marriage. Date each other. Spend intentional time knowing each other. Because you're only going to lead as healthy as you actually are. Like, you're only going to lead other marriages.
And we can give and serve to the point of exhausting ourselves.
Yep.
And then we're not replenishing and being
even
practicing what we're preaching, what we're living out, what we care about.
Yep. Right. But all these resources are here for our leaders as well. So I never ever want a leader to be like, oh, I'm not going to be able to lead if my marriage is struggling.
Yep.
Yes, you are. We're just going to make sure a marriage mentor is right alongside of you, encouraging you and pointing you back to Jesus.
Yep.
Well, any closing thoughts as we get ready to wrap up this discussion today?
Well, I like this closing thought. I mean,
is it your own thought?
No, it's from the Bible. That's why I like it.
I like it.
My thoughts are a little sketchy sometimes. I don't know. I have to think about it. Run by my wife. I was just meeting with one of our marriage mentors. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, he's the guy who runs the premarital.
Yeah.
Just had lunch with him before this podcast. And we were just talking about the Lord. God could have picked any model to communicate to us. He could have picked business with a CEO and a board of directors. He could have picked a sports team with a quarterback and, you know, the players. He could have picked, you know, what anything.
Yeah.
But he chose marriage. Well, people get that, I think, backwards. He didn't choose marriage. Mm-hmm. Marriage actually is an outpouring of God's character. It's not like he said, oh, I better find something here that would, we'll pick marriage. I mean, that's not where God operates.
No.
So when he created Adam and Eve and brought them together in that union, the primary intention was so that people could see within that relationship tangibly the love that he has for his covenant people. That's what marriage was designed for. That, no wonder Satan's after it. Because if he can make marriages look like a battle zone, how are people going to understand the love of God? But when he sees a husband and a wife who cooperate together and love each other, and then they say, well, this is how God's led us to this, but this is how God feels about his covenant people, his church.
I love that.
That's money, man.
Yeah.
That's money.
That's the picture of the gospel that we get to portray through our marriages.
Yeah.
People get to see God's work.
Be a living gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's so good.
Yeah. But the thing, but I still got to say here, I mean, but marriage is hard.
It is hard,
It struggles. Don't create an atmosphere in your group where everybody's like, because then you're going to end up with a 10-year group and the guy gets divorced and you didn't even know what you were doing.
Exactly.
Marriage is, it's okay to struggle. That's part of life.
Yeah.
It's not who can have the best marriage.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Well, I want to say thank you, both of you. This has been just super helpful, I think, in this discussion. And I know for our group leaders, this will be just some great follow-ups that we'll be able to have. I want to point you to a couple resources that we have available. Our website, realliferesources.org, which is tied in with realifeministries.com, has all of these different resources we mentioned today. And you'll be able to see show notes and some of the links and different things we talked about. Again, be watching for some of the stuff that Bill and Sarah talked about from this episode, upcoming classes, mentors, trainings that we have.
Well, Chris, I forgot to mention the groups team is working right now on another tool to help in the breakout sessions to have discussions that are more intentional about checking on marriage health.
And that, I think, is a huge takeaway of just, I think, what we're trying to do as a church related to marriage is help resource our small group leaders, because you guys are on the front lines. Marriage ministry happens every day in our small groups.
Yep.
I want to say thank you to both of you guys for joining us on this podcast. I know it's been super helpful for me in this discussion, and I know it will be helpful for the small group leader. I want to remind you of a few of the resources we mentioned today that are going to be available on our website, realliferesources.org. A huge help to us would be if you would like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever you're listening or watching from, so that we can create more content that gets to more people. Again, thank you for all that you do, impacting our community, making disciples in relational environments, and we'll see you next time. We are grateful for the investment you make each week as you reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time, and make biblical disciples in relational environments. For notes from this show and other great resources to help you grow, visit realliferesources.org.